we've had in these days together. Amen. This man has never failed to point me to God and push me to God in his preaching. Amen. I would not do disrespect to him and introduce him as a pulpit guy. But I'm glad he's a pulpiteer. I'm glad he's a preacher of the Word of God. You open up your heart. Brother Rick Seyfried, pastor of the West Lenore Baptist Church. Brother Rick, preach to us.
Thank you, brother. Love you. God bless you. Thank you, brother. Brother Moneyham, if you'll turn with us tonight to the 42nd division of the Psalm, if you'd like to stand and are able for the reading of God's Word, we welcome you to do that tonight. Psalm 42. On Monday evening, we began in the 119th Psalm by looking at the benefits of being alone with God from the psalmist's statement about when we're alone with God, we can declare our ways, we can appreciate the fact that He hears us, and we can be educated. Tuesday evening from Daniel 6, we looked at the basis of being alone with God, simply using those simple elements of life that God has given us, our house, our windows, our chambers, our knees, our God. Last evening, a burden for being alone with God from the life of Hannah, burdened over our house, God's house, the house of the man of God. Tonight, the beginnings of being alone with God. To get alone with God, it has to start somewhere. And I believe the beginnings tonight are in two specific words in the 42nd Psalm, the word panteth and the word thirsteth. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You may be seated. Thank God for the reading of the Word of God. Being alone with God doesn't just happen. Being alone with God doesn't happen because you want it to happen. Being alone with God occurs because God wants it to happen and you want it to happen. The psalmist in the 42nd Psalm paints a beautiful picture tonight of what should be happening in the soul of mankind in his relationship to God. Before I get to the heart of what I want to say tonight, I just want to say by way of introduction that we live in a world, in a culture, when people are very much interested in spirituality. Spirituality and spiritual things are two different things. God is not so much interested in spirituality, but He is in spiritual things. People are looking for something spiritual. There's a lot of emphasis tonight on feelings, a lot of emphasis on religious involvement. Going to church, getting involved in praise has become a big topic among churchgoers tonight. People sing for an hour, hear a short sermon, sometimes from the Bible, sometimes not, and think they have become intimate with God. You can sing about God for 2 hours and never be intimate with God. You can talk about God for 2 hours and never be intimate with God. David was speaking about something, or the psalmist, some suggest maybe Hezekiah or someone else wrote this psalm, but the author here is speaking about something much deeper. than just singing about God or just talking about God. When you're alone with God, there's something much deeper and much more eternal taking place than what we hear or what we feel. He describes what it is at the beginnings of our being alone with God, the panting and the thirsting. Panteth, of course, refers to the air that is taken into the lungs of the heart or the deer. Thirsteth, of course, is referring to the water. The two elements that the psalmist has described and is describing for us tonight are not extras in life. These are not luxuries. These are essentials. Without air and without water, every one of us die. I think it's also interesting that without air, we die quickly. Without water, we die slowly. There are some elements of being alone with God that we need quickly. There are some elements of being alone with God that we need gradually, and we need over a period of time. If your air supply is cut off tonight, the water you need is denied, then the human instinct is to fight to regain that as soon as possible. I suggest to you tonight, there are less people panting and thirsting after God than there's ever been on the face of God's earth. And the reason is there are less people in that type of relationship with God. There's a number of people tonight who are in a religious relationship. They are in a, quote, spiritual relationship with something, but it doesn't involve being alone with God. Panting and thirsting would be described by the television fellas. Some of them tonight would describe that as the deeper life. They would describe that as the super walk with God. I'm here to tell you, my air and my water is not the deeper walk of life. They are the essential elements of life. You spend a lot of time breathing, and you spend a lot of time drinking water. Whether you realize it or not, it makes up a large portion of your day. The time spent taking in air and taking in water is vital for your life. Also, by way of introduction, I'd have you understand tonight that both panting and thirsting is about intake, not about outflow. Much of what's going on in the church tonight is geared to what is outflowing. It's what we're doing. It's what we're giving. It's what we're saying. Everybody's wrapped up in all of that stuff about our movements, about our actions in the presence of God. Being alone with God's about intake. It's about you and I taking in who He is, His greatness, and His mighty power. These two verses graphically illustrate tonight that it is not only essential, but it is natural for anything living to pant for air and to thirst for water. If you're saved tonight, there is a God-given pant and a God-given thirst for God. Not just the things of God, but for God Himself. We live in a religious world tonight that wants God's stuff, but very little of God. They want God's creation, but very little of the Creator. They want to read portions of God's Word, but not all of God's Word. They want to rejoice over some of His attributes, but not all of His attributes. The psalmist here is showing us the beginnings of being alone with God. They are saturated in panting and they are saturated in thirsting. You can't become holy in a hurry. There's a lot of folks want everything tonight in a hurry. I know you want your groceries in a hurry. You want your paycheck in a hurry. My son just started with the U.S. Postal Service. That's encouraging, going to work for a company that's bankrupt. But everybody else is, I guess, so what's the difference? But had a man call the post office who lives at the end of the route and said he would meet my son next Saturday at the first of the route because he wanted his check. Only problem with that, that's against the law. And so my son said, you'll have to wait on it. People don't understand. We're in a culture where we don't have to wait on anything. Matter of fact, we don't wait on God to move anymore. We'll move it for Him. If God's busy over the other church, we can handle things here till He gets back. That's about how we are tonight. But you can't become holy in a hurry. And you can't get alone quickly. You can't get alone overnight with God. There has to be the beginnings of it. And the beginnings of it have to be birthed in our heart. I want you to look with me tonight at these two words for just a few moments. What it means to pant after God and what it means to thirst after God. Now the word panteth comes from the Hebrew word meaning to long for or to cry after. When describing breathing, it means to breathe spasmodically in a labored manner. The word's only used here in Psalm 42:1 and in the book of Joel chapter 1 and verse number 20. The psalmist is telling us tonight about something that is happening within him. There is a labored manner. There is a desire to take in something that is necessary for life. God showing up. God manifesting Himself. God meeting with us has become a luxury to the church. It's become the service we talk about. It's become the one night of meeting that we hold on to. It's become the one element of worship that we kindly lift up as the big ten of the meeting. Not so for the psalmist. It was the everyday essential, the every night necessity. It was the ever meeting requirement that God be manifested and that they recognize His presence among everything else. As the heart, the psalmist said, panteth after the water brooks. Picture with me tonight, think for a moment about a reddish-brown female deer in the Middle East that has just escaped her predator. She's been running full speed over the rugged terrain of Palestine. She's alone and she's afraid. She's outrun her buck. She has outrun her protection. Her heart is beating rapidly. Her senses are sharpened to their maximum capacity. Blood flow to her brain and her nervous system is at an all-time high. But not today. She's alone now and all of her vital organs are to the max. But there's nothing there to protect her. Her nostrils are flaring, trying to find a sense of the predator, how close he might be or where he may be located. Her stomach heaves as she breathes heavily. She's tired. She's panting is what the psalmist is telling us tonight. She has outrun her protection. Her heart is doing all it can do. Everything that she was born to do physically, she has now maxed out. and she's in need of intake. And if she don't get intake, she'll never come back down and be able to be normal again. That's where God's children are tonight. That's where we should be tonight. We have outrun our protection. We have got in a mess tonight. Our senses, everything that we know to put in this, we've put in this under God. It's not going to happen by output. It's going to happen by intake. And that intake has to come from Almighty God. It's harder to preach tonight than it's ever been in my 39 years of preaching. You say, well, quit whining. I ain't whining. I'm just telling you how it is. And I want to tell you why. Because we're trying to do it with the flare of our nostrils. We're trying to do it with the energy that we have. We're trying to do it on our nature. Listen, a heart can run. A heart can jump. A heart can do a lot of things. But even a fast deer in Palestine has come to the end of her senses. She's come to the end of it all. She is drained. She's vulnerable. And she needs to breathe deeply. She needs to stop for a while and take something in from another world. Brother, that's where we are tonight. We need an intake from another world. A world, by the way, that God has designed. A world God made us. God fixed us tonight. God made us to where we can take in what He has provided. We ain't got time. Man, there's too many brooks to jump. There's too many places to go in life. Oh, listen, being alone with God, the beginnings of being alone with God comes when we pant after the right things. What's the heart panting after? She's panting after the water brooks, the channels of water in the dry wilderness. I want to remind you something. There ain't water everywhere in Palestine. Not every wilderness has a brook, but the heart knows where the water brooks are. She's run this way before, and her nostrils are flaring. She's trying to pick up the scent of that water. She's trying to discern where she can get to take in something so she can continue to live. I've never seen so many water brooks in my life, but a lot of them are not flowing with the water from the precious Word of God. Brother, you can stop and drink from about, you can stop and take in from about every channel there is on Christian television tonight, but I'm telling you, some of them water brooks aren't running the pure water of the Word of God. And brother, if you keep drinking from that stuff, you're going to end up with the wrong kind of intake and you're going to be messed up. Now I know some of you don't a bit more believe that than you believe it's 12 noon. But you better take it for what it's worth. It'll kill you. She's not looking for a contaminated source. This heart is looking to take in some air where she can find the fresh channel. If she can get air to her brain again, and if her heart can slow down, if her lungs can fill up again, then she can find her way to that living water. She can find her way down to that water where she's protected. Once she gets in that brook, then she's protected from that predator. He loses the sense of her trail, and a lot of things change once she gets enough air to get in the water. And hear me tonight, a lot of things change at the house of God when we take in enough to get our senses back and get in the book of God. You folk in Burke County camp tonight, you've made it where you are by standing in the middle of this brook. You made it where you are by taking in the pure Word of God. Under God, don't get out now. Stay with it. And if you think something is wrong with that, take in some fresh air tonight. Get your senses back and get in the book of God. Panteth. She's needing to hear from God. I want to say tonight, God wants you to pant after Him. God's willing to allow you to pant after Him. You say, how do you know that? The little word so, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God, is what the psalmist is saying. He wants you to pant after Him. Oh, preacher, that makes me look weak. Well, amen, you are. You say, I know I've outgrown all of this. You haven't outgrown anything. We need God. Listen, Christianity tonight downplays the dependence of the believer upon the person of God. It downplays it. You get in trouble nowadays going in churches and preaching on God. It's almost like you people think you're taking them back. Not taking you back. Brother, look out in your future. It's about God tonight. Everything's about God. David, or the psalmist said, so my soul, he said, my panteth my soul after thee, O God. God wants you to pant after Him. You're dependent upon God tonight. Absolutely dependent upon God. King Edward VII visited a little city in the 1900s and walked by an excited little young girl. And after the king was gone, the young girl began to weep. Her mother picked her up and said, honey, why are you weeping? Did you not see the king? And she sobbed and said, yes, but said, he never saw me. He never saw me. Listen tonight. God wants you to pant after Him. I don't know what you're panting after tonight. I don't know what you're trying to gain and what you're taking in tonight. But if it's anything less than God, you're missing it. You're missing it. This is the beginnings of being alone with God. You're never going to want to be alone with God unless you're panting after God. Wanting to take in something to clear our minds and senses. God, we need a good breath of the Holy Ghost to clear our minds. You know that? Some of us have never panted for God. And those of us who have hadn't done it in a long time. Not only does God want you to pant after God, I mentioned the little word so, you can pant after God. What does it mean? Panting after God. When you look for God more than anything else in life, He will be found. Panting isn't something inward that you muster up. Panting isn't something that the choir produces. Panting isn't something that the preacher works up. Panting is something that God does in you. That deer, that heart, was created to pant when she got in that situation. And God has created you to pant after God when you get in the situations of life. Panting after God. Oh God, what are we going to do? Pant after God. I heard Dr. Woodrow Kroll tell about a missionary in India who had preached. And this young boy came down and said, I want a desire for God. Said, I want to pant and thirst like this text says. He said, but I don't know how and I don't know what you mean. Missionary took him by the hand. They headed down toward the river. And as they headed down toward the river, the young boy thought the missionary was going to baptize him. He took him out in neck deep water, put both his hands around his neck, the missionary did around the boy, and stuck him under and held him until the boy kicked and clawed and bubbles began to come up out of the water. Then the missionary pulled him up. And the boy said, what'd you do that for? Said, you nearly drowned me. He said, tell me, son, what did you want more than anything else? 10 seconds ago, he said, air. He said, when you got that kind of desire, come back to God. And he said, God will give it to you. Let's be honest tonight. We want a good service. We want a good camp meeting. But we really are not interested in God. Well, God's not really interested in just giving good services. Amen. And now we think that. That's what it's all about tonight. That ain't what it's about. It's about God. By the way, a good service ain't going to help you when you're laying in ICU and don't have a mind to remember the good service. But God will help you. God will help you. He'll be there. He is a very present help. So the psalmist said, my soul panteth. And he said, I panteth after thee, O God. Taking in air. Secondly, the beginnings of being alone with God involve thirsting. Thirsteth in verse 2. It's a common biblical word used repeatedly in the Bible. Sometimes talking about physical thirst, as in Exodus 17, where the children of Israel were thirsty, or spiritual thirst. Thirst is something we all can identify with. If you're not normal if you don't identify with thirst. We all identify with thirst. Are you thirsty right now? Some of you are. Some of you aren't. Think about a salty piece of country ham. Salty piece of country ham. For those of you who are messed up and no longer eat meat, by the way, somebody was here the other night in a blue truck. I'd like to meet them. Got a sign on the front window that said, kill it and grill it. I'd love to meet them. I don't know who it was, but never met them, but I like them. I like them, whoever it was. Kill it and grill it. By the way, I was in a store this morning, stopped at Tractor Supply to pick up a couple things, and I bought a BB gun and some BBs. Laid it down up there, and the woman said, what are you buying a BB gun for, man your age? She said, grandchildren or grandchildren? I said, no, my grandson ain't old enough to shoot one yet. She said, what are you getting it for? I said, I got a cat that's got that BB gun's name right on her. And I hope they have Cubase and can edit this part of the sermon for those of you that love cats. But I will tell you this. When a cat's sitting on my Massey Ferguson clawing my seat up, there's no question about what the will of God is concerning who's going to survive. I love Massey more than I love the cat. But there was a lady standing behind me in line who got highly upset with my intentions for the gun. And I turned and said, ma'am, I don't intend to kill it. I said, if I was going to kill it, I've already got that stuff necessary at the house. I said, I'm just going to encourage it. I'm going to encourage it not to make its home where it does not belong, is what I was talking about. Thirsting tonight. Thirsting. Thirst is something we all identify with. All of it. Think about a piece of country ham. Then think about, if you don't eat meat, think about a bowl of popcorn saturated in butter and salt, heavy salt. You know the kind you eat when you go to the movie you shouldn't be going to? That kind of popcorn is what I'm talking about tonight. Things can create thirst. It's amazing. All our food is pasteurized and you can just eat a piece of meat out of a deli and automatically, boy, your body starts craving that water, that water. I want to tell you, there ought to be something tonight in the life of the child of God that we thirst tonight for God. Now, I don't buy into that stuff about this vacuum that everybody thirsts after God. You may buy into that. If you do, that's fine. But I'm telling you this, there's people out there that ain't got a bit of interest in God and never will till God touches their heart. Now, I don't believe there's a spark of divinity in every man. That's Norman Vincent Peale theology. That's Robert Schuller doctrine. I believe in Pauline doctrine, where Paul said that we're all together as an unclean thing.
Paul said, quoting Isaiah, there is none that seeketh after God. None that seeketh after God. However, I say quickly tonight, when God deals with a man, he'll start longing for God. He'll start wanting God. He'll start moving toward God if he accepts the way that God is dealing with his heart. If you're a child of God tonight, there ought to be a thirst in your heart for God. Thirsteth for God. Our bodies are 2/3 water. A chicken is 3/4 water. That's good to know, isn't it? A pineapple is 4/5 water. If you're eating pineapple chicken tomorrow, then you'll know how much water you got. If your body loses more than 20% of its normal water content, you're dead. You're dead. Humans have to take in about 2 quarts of water every day. The earth is dominated with water. 97% of it, though, is in the ocean. Only 3% of the world's water is drinkable and usable. I agree with what Dr. Bagwell said years ago. There's no more water on the earth tonight than there ever was. All the water that was ever made when God created it in Genesis. Now, that statement is not endorsed by the Weather Channel or the Sierra Club. Neither one will endorse that. And I doubt if Al Gore would endorse that either. But that's true. That's true. People wonder what we're going to do about it. Let it alone. God sends it out of heaven, soaks through the earth, goes right back into the ocean, vaporizes, goes right back up, and does the same thing over and over again. You say, we're dry where I'm at. Ain't got a thing to do with the water being less than what it was. God's just put it somewhere else. What a God we serve. You say, I don't believe that. Well, then you'd really have a problem believing Christ died on the cross to save your sin, wouldn't you? Hey, if God can't handle the atmosphere, He could never handle my soul. He could never handle my sin. I don't have any problem believing that tonight. Water, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, and my soul thirsteth for thee. This thirst is actual. The psalmist said, my soul thirsteth. That indicates tonight the journey is more than just knowing you're saved. And just knowing you're saved. One of my grandsons, I have three, and I don't remember which one it was now, but he was fussy and crying here a year or so ago. I don't remember which one it was now, maybe the middle one, I don't remember. And couldn't nothing satisfy him. I said, give him some water. And they said, no, doctors, the pediatricians say you're not supposed to give him but so much water now. I was raised on water bottles, I guess, and all of us. We didn't have all this Gator and all this other junk everybody's got. We just had creek water with rust in it, moss, where cows had crossed. And by the way, everywhere the cow crossed, God put enough moss to filter it out before our grandparents dipped. That'll work. But anyway, I said, give him water. And they said, you ain't supposed to do that. And I took my finger and stuck it in the water and held it up there, put it on his tongue. He just grinned. So I just stuck my finger in it again and just kept doing it. If he comes up and don't even remember his name, his brain ain't right, I guess I'll have to be the blame for all of that. But my youngest son, Jason, was sitting there, and here's what he said. He said, let him have it. He said, there comes a time in life when every man needs a drink of water. That's right, ain't it? Well, I want to tell you, the time's come. We need to thirst tonight after God. And we need that drink from God's fountain tonight. That's the beginnings of being alone with God. The anticipation of panting and thirsting after God. This was no emotional exercise, no worked up feeling. Here, work yourself up tonight into thirst. Do it. Hurry, I ain't got all night. Do it. Work yourself up. You can't work it up on your own. It's a natural process. Brother, you can't work up a thirst for God. Run to the altar 10 times. You're not going to be a bit more thirsty than you was when you came. Not until you really get serious with God. The psalmist is raising his weary hands at the heavens to ask God to help him thirst. He's thirsting for time with God. If I had to ask God for anything tonight, it wouldn't be for a lot of things, but I want to tell you what I need more than anything else. I need time to be alone with God. I've pastored at 2 churches and in the process of pastoring a third. And I've been surrounded by good people and godly men. I thank God for that. And what I'm about to say in no way reflects anything on anybody. I've had men come to me and ask me if I needed anything. The deacons I served with in my second pastorate, I don't think I ever went a week that one of them didn't ask me or my wife if we needed anything. They've been very good to us. All the churches I've pastored have been very kind and gracious to us. But I've never had a man come to me and say, "Preacher, if you need time to be alone with God, let us know and we'll make that available." I've never had anybody to ask me that. And if they were to ask me the one thing I need tonight, it'd be time to be alone with God. In all honesty tonight, that's what you need. Now I know what you're planning. You're planning your vacation. But what you need is time alone with God. Preacher, I get alone with God on my vacation. I don't. I eat and sleep. It's what I do. I hear preachers say I go fishing to get alone with God. I go fishing to catch or get mad. One or the other. One or the other. And if Brother Terrell Crump takes me one more time, I'm probably going to end up cussing because we don't catch anything. Never do. Never do. I don't do. Listen, when I have the family over to eat ice cream, I don't have the family over to get along with God. I have the family over to eat ice cream. But I do need to be alone with God, and you need to be alone with God. I need to get to that place where there is that sense that I've got to take in a draw of heaven, and I have got to quench something with only the very person and the very presence of God. That's what it means to be alone with Him. The thirst is actual. The thirst is personal. He thirsts for God. And then he said this, for the living God. He wasn't interested in being intimate with theology. I know preachers who get intimate with theology. That ain't where we're to get intimate. When I go off in meeting, I carry a picture of Kim and set it, you know, have it in either my briefcase or somewhere. But I'm telling you this, when I get home, I do not hug pictures. Does that embarrass you? If I told you I did, you'd say, "Boy, he's a weirdo, wouldn't you?" Been in a meeting way too long. Take a breath of fresh air, preacher. You're not taking in enough air. I know people who are intimate with a King James Bible, and they just love it up, and I'm doing no disrespect to this. What about the God in it? I hear people bragging on all of this stuff. What about the God in it? David said, "My thirst is for God." Then he said, "For the living God." He wanted everybody to know that his thirst was for somebody real, somebody personal, somebody that lived, and that's what he thirsted after. I really don't care if we ever have a good service again or not. Don't make a bit of difference to me. But I sure am thirsty for God. By the way, who decides what's a good service and what ain't? Bunch of people who have slept during the service. Why didn't we pass out cards tonight? Everybody hold up 10s and 8s and we'll gauge it. Brother Scott brought up American Idol. We'll just all do our little thing here and gauge whether God's here or whether God ain't here. I don't have enough sense to figure all that out. Listen, just because I think something felt good, sounded good, looked good, or went over good, that don't mean God was anywhere around. And that don't mean God done anything of any significant measure whatsoever. David, or the psalmist said, my thirst is personal for the living God. He wasn't interested in being intimate with theology. He was not thirsty for the old time way. He was not thirsty for the way it used to be. He was thirsty for the one who has a name, a personality, and a book. He said, I want God. And that's what we ought to want tonight. Finally, this thirst was not only actual and personal, it was both spiritual and physical. When shall I come and appear before God? Please don't miss this. He associated God both with the physical of being with God's people and the spiritual being before God Himself. That's very important tonight. That word appear means the psalmist viewed public worship as an appearance before the God he thirsted after. Now, if some of you young boys really saw it like that, you'd tuck your shirt tail in and comb your hair if you really knew who you were appearing before. And if some ladies understood that, they would lengthen some things, both upward and downward. If they really understood that they were appearing before someone. Up in the building the other day, I told Josiah, I said, we're going to pray. I said, I'm going to pray here before we go down with Mode or something. He was up there with me. He had on a little hat like I had, and I had on my hat. Pulled my hat off. I said, take your hat off. He took his hat off. I was getting ready to appear before God. This is a casual age, have you noticed? Very casual. Very casual. It's just a flippant age we're living in. And I will tell you why. People like to feel that way. They want to come here like they go to Walmart. When I go to Walmart, I dress depressed. When I go to Walmart, I don't like to go. I want to tell you, if I'm going to appear before God and God's people and I expect to be alone with Him, I'm going to spruce up a little bit. I'm going to do my very best to come before God in a way that will honor and glorify Him. You say, well, I like dressing casual to come to church. That's why you come like that. Because all it is to you is church. This isn't about church. This is about God Almighty and us appearing before God. Amen. That's why people go to funerals look like they're going skiing. Because they're just going to hear the eulogy. And by the way, if I don't quit doing them, I'm going to dress like that because that's about all it's worth dressing up for. What about appearing before a holy God? I'm going to tell you what, you got in God's presence in the Bible, you better appear right, brother. Or you got in deep weeds in a hurry. David said, I'm going to appear in public worship. He went to see God and to be seen of God. There's something needed, David is saying here, by the inner man and the outer man that only God supplies. I've had people tell me, I've been alone with God. I don't need to be at the people of God. That ain't right. Or I've been to church. I don't need to get along with God. That ain't right. David said here, when shall I come and appear before God? He's talking about going to the public meeting place and God seeing him and him seeing God. There's still a connection, Burke County,
yes, sir,
between that local assembly and you being alone with God.
Yes, sir.
Now, Hannah was privately praying, the psalmist in 119 was, and Daniel was himself. But here the psalmist is saying, I'm getting along with God in the midst of God's people. That is possible for you and me to all be alone with God in the same building at the same time. I cast my vote for the church many years ago. And brother, I intend to stay with her till Jesus comes. You say, preacher, there's a lot of hypocrites and people in the church. I know. That's sad, ain't it? That's sad. He says, there's a lot of stinking things going on here. I understand that. There's a lot of stinking things on the ark. But it sure beat drowning. Amen. You know how many bed bugs and fleas and ticks can lay on an elephant? I mean, there's a lot of things. But I'm grateful tonight that God appears, and He still appears at the church. And we can be alone with Him even in a congregation. Compared do withouts and things we can't do without. I can do without a song. I can do without a sermon. A meal, a crowd. I can eat, and I know this is going to hurt, but I can even do without my Christmas treat. And all the bonbon lovers said amen. God help, they took the bonbons out last year, and we've had bonbons for 42 years. That's why all your teeth have rotted over all these years. That's why I can do without that. But I cannot do without Him. I close tonight. You've been patient. Thank you. I close with this quote from the great British theologian, C.S. Lewis, no kin to Brother Charles, who said this, but Brother Charles will agree with this, God is the all-satisfying object. He's the source and the object of our intimate pleasure. What a statement. How much do you want Him tonight? I'm going to tell you, me and you both will get as much of God as we want. That's it. Let me tell you what you're going to do tomorrow. Exactly what you're doing tonight. If you don't pant and thirst. Preacher, I don't know how to pant. Then join me tonight and say, God, teach me to pant. Preacher, I don't know how to thirst. Then say, Lord, help me to thirst for Thee, for the living God. Now, if you ain't serious about that, don't pray it. Because if you pray that, you're going to get loaded up somewhere between here and home. God's going to answer that. He'll do exactly what He said He would do. The beginning of being alone with God. Would you stand with me tonight? Brother Tim's coming. Thank you for your patience.